In this episode of Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, Damon and Gary talk about the 7th episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. In this episode, it's time for Snatch Game. Listen in as the Cubs judge the Queen's impersonations, how the look isn't everything, and that taking a risk could be a good thing. Also, are the Queens really the problem with this season? Find out as CUL Drag Race Episode 7 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
And we are live.
Yay!
All right, it's April 16th, 2015, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud, Drag Race Tea Time, episode number 7. I am Gary, and with me as always is co-host
Damon. Hey, don't you have the music?
I do. Let's get that started.
RuPaul Drag Race.
I'm really dancing right now. Okay.
So we goofed the beginning. Who cares?
It's okay. We're fun. It's nice.
Yeah. So we are about halfway through the season of the 7th season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
First impressions for Snatch Game. Yeah. I wrote, the hate is on for Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't...
And it's on both sides. Like Kennedy's tired of it, and so are they.
What I also wrote was old versus young. I know we've talked about it for a couple of episodes, but man, it really came to the front in my observation.
Yeah.
There definitively seems to be the young posse and the older, more what some might say professional or experienced girls.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my first impression, was that there was definitively a us versus them kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were, and I think this is one of the first seasons where that's been a very definitive kind of line there. Like, yes, there's been sort of like similar sort of two sides in a lot of seasons, but this is one that I've seen from almost the beginning, that it's been like this, and I'll use some leather terms, old guard versus new guard, where you've got the older experienced queens that are kind of have their ways and know what they want to do. And you have these new queens that are, I'm going to talk as an old guard person. Like, they have this chip on their shoulder about that they're right all the time. And that's not true, that you need to, that they just need to, they're out there and they need to do it. And that's it. You know, I'm doing here, I'm here, I'm fabulous. That's it. No one cares. You know, it's very much this strange, like, and it's clashing often, especially in this season. So I don't know.
What I find interesting, and we've talked about it a little bit in previous Untucked episodes, is where some of the girls are saying, but you have more experience to gain to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've been doing this for a couple of months, a couple of years. You know, as opposed to me, who has been doing this for 10, 20 years, 30 years, however long. Do you know, like, there's this thing where the younger entertainers seem to not know and or recognize that with age comes wisdom.
Mm.
you know, with that experience, so to speak. So yeah, it's pretty interesting to me, that take on it.
Yeah. I'm hoping that I'm wanting to see how it plays into the grand scheme of things, you know, given where we are on the show, I think we're about down the middle with old and new, kind of. Let's go to Wikipedia docs, shall we? Let's. Because I'm getting this. There are eight queens at the start of the show, correct? Eight.
For this episode, yes. There are eight.
Yeah.
And then we go down to seven.
Yeah. But yeah. If you start looking at their ages, with the exception, yeah, you've got several people who are in their 20s. Actually, one, two.
Well, those are in their 20s.
Oh, but Kennedy. Yeah. No, and Kennedy and Katya.
Correct. Yeah, but Kennedy, Katya, and Ginger Minge are all close in age, within 4 years of each other. And then the rest of the group seems to be, for the most part, in their early to mid-20s.
Yeah, with the exception of Miss Fame. But
yeah, she's sort of an anomaly in that she's older, but I think she's not as experienced.
Yeah, I agree. So, my first impressions on this episode was this better be good. I'm just going to put it very simple, put it flat out there. We knew this was Snatch Game. It's time. This was the episode where everyone needs to step up. Everyone knows this is coming. Everyone knows this episode is coming. This specific challenge is coming. And since you know it's coming, you need to be aware of that. So, and we're taking a moment. I'm going to look to the left. And then look to the right. Take a sip of my cocktail, and we're back. I did some filler. I looked to the left, and then I looked to the right.
Sorry, there was something very unavoidable I had to do, so I was like, I'll be right back.
No problem. But yeah, but as I was saying, this is the thing that you need to, like, everyone knows about it. They've been doing it for several years, this challenge for several years. You know what's coming. So there is no, I can't think of the word, but you should know, like I said, you should know this is coming. So there's no room for, like, I wasn't prepared, or I don't think I know what I'm doing, or whatever. You know, they know about this specific challenge because it comes every year. So be good. This better be good.
Right. You and I are in agreement on that point, that Snatch Game is not a surprise by any means. It is now an expectation. The audience is looking for it. The judges are looking for it. And I think the contestants should be looking for it. Now, we did discuss previously in an earlier episode, I'm not going to spoil it, that we thought of another way they could do this differently, still be a comedy game show, switch it up a little bit. But yeah, it's just an expectation that you're going to present a character that is not you.
Yeah.
It's not your drag persona. You are going to be imitating somebody else, mocking somebody else, whatever that is. So yeah, some of these girls not having something.
Yeah, and not only that, not having something else.
Well, That was very interesting. I think this is maybe the second time, maybe third time in seven seasons that there was this thing about Rue saying, well, what else do you have? Or who else were you thinking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a little surprise to me that there was a definitive, you know, you need to have more than one character ready to go.
Well, I think you need to. I'm a preparer. You know, if I were on the show, you know, I would come up with someone who I know I can do like that. Like I know, like if Snatch Game comes around and go, I've got all this stuff here, boom, 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 I'm here. This is my Diana Ross. This is my Patti LaBelle. This is, you know, whoever, you know. And then I'd be like, oh, cool. You know, and then I've got it down and be like, okay, well, wait, what if there's another girl on the show that's kind of like me and they might want to do Patti LaBelle or Diana Ross or whatever. I should think about, okay, well, who else could I do? You know, just in case, as their underwear says, I believe, just in case, you know, I'm a preparer. So if I knew I could, like, if I knew someone was going to happen, I'm like, okay, well, who else could I do? And I can go, okay, you know, that's my backup, just in case.
Well, speaking of that, you want to move on to the next segment of the episode? Because I think this ties into it directly. I wanted to run through the list of who did what character.
Sure thing.
Part of that was when they were in the workroom, it was revealed that Miss Fame and Violet Chachki both wanted to do the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Fame decided to give up doing the character that she had been working on. To give it Violet. Oh,
yeah.
And then Rue came in. I should have taken the audio clip for it, but I didn't. She had this great line about, well, being nice is fine, but that's not winning.
Yeah.
True. And I was like, ooh, she just done, you know, pulled another Tyra moment or whatever you want to call it. And basically was like, if you got to cut a bitch, cut a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, $100,000 on the line, girl. If you want the money, you're gonna work your hardest to get it. So that surprised me.
Yeah, one of the things I remember writing down, and I actually just looked at it, and it was, you know, Miss Fame is running for Miss Congeniality. Ooh. You know, if you're gonna like, I think I can do this character down pat, you know, no problem. And then, oh well, the center girl wants to do it. Well, let me be nice to her and. Let her do it. No, 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 no. That will get you Miss Congeniality. They're like, the audience will be like, oh, that's really nice of you. Sorry you didn't win, but here you go.
Right.
No.
So what happened was both Miss Fame and Violet Chachki wanted to do Donatella Versace. Now, from what we see in the show, Violet says she's been working on her Donatella for 8 months straight prior to arriving. Miss Fame apparently has been planning it for years, like ever since she first auditioned, which we don't know how long ago that was. So if there was a pissing contest about who was more prepared or put more time in, yeah. I guess it goes to Miss Fame.
Mm-hmm.
She does end up choosing to do Donatella Versace.
Mm-hmm.
Rue talks to Violet about not so much the conflict, but about who she's going to prepare. And then she says, did you have anybody else lined up? And Violet says, I had thought about Alyssa Edwards, which is a previous season's competitor. And previous season's competitors and or the judges is dicey.
Yeah.
If you pull it off, you're golden. And if you fuck it up, which Rue tells you not to do, then it hurts. It really stings.
Yeah. It does.
And that kind of happens in this episode. In fact, both swings of the measurement.
Yeah.
So she decides to go with Alyssa Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Let me run through the list real quick, and then we'll talk about
sure thing
how each person did. So Ginger Minj did Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden DeOrfiris did Raven Simone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Katya was Susie Orman. Kennedy Davenport was Little Richard.
And we need to talk about that one, but...
No.
Yeah.
Miss Fame was Donatella Versace. Pearl was Big Ange. And then Violet Chachki was Alyssa Edwards. And Max was Sharon Needles.
So we had two girls on the show who did former people who are on the show.
Correct.
One who did a former winner.
Correct. So do you want to talk about our thoughts on the episode, or do you want to go one by one through what they did?
That's a good thought. We could potentially go one by one, because what did I write as my... Yeah. Well, I do want to say that one thing just real quick, because it was perfect. My thought on the episode was actually be funny. And that came from a surprise video from Bianca Del Rio, mm-hmm. In the start of the episode. And I loved it because it made sense. You needed to be, we're not looking for a straight on like impersonation of your character. We need you to be a parody, a hilarious off the wall, campy kind of, parody of this character, mm-hmm. or this famous person, alive or dead, whoever, you're that's what you're going to be. And that we've seen throughout the years that is what goes well and makes you win. If you don't do that, if you fail in getting a laugh, you might end up in the bottom too. So I'm kudos to Bianca for giving him that quick note of well, her Rolodex of hate. Yeah.
She basically said, you're a drag queen. Be funny.
Yep.
And that was it. And yeah. We'll probably go tie back to that later at the end of the episode. But so I agree. My thoughts that I wrote for the episode was follow Rue's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, take a hint, girl. If Rue says to you, oh, well, who are you doing for Snatch Game? And then you say who you're doing, and she asks for you to do a little characterization moment, a little impersonation. And then she says, oh, what else did you have in mind?
Boom.
Right. I don't know what more of a slap upside the head you need with a brick. Do you know what I mean? Like, if Rue questions what you're doing and asks you for a backup that quickly and does not laugh at your impersonation... Start over, girl. Find something new. Pull something out of your ass, because whatever you thought you had ready, it ain't landing. You should have practiced and perfected so that there's no question, no doubt about what you're doing.
And then also on that, you should be ready for it. That's the one little thing that every drag queen needs. Improvisation 101. Like, because you're going to get thrown something very quick and you need to be ready to react and provide something hilarious or off the wall or whatever to kind of either keep things going or get the laugh.
Yeah.
Make them laugh. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so those were my thoughts simply was, Rue is the guru, the guidance. And if she, take a hint, girl,
take a hint.
Yeah. If she's not finding you funny, then you better reconsider it and go from there. Now, to do the breakdown. So let's start with the way I listed him. Ginger, their alpha by drag name. Ginger Minge did Adele.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting that.
No, I wasn't either.
Well, I found it to be dicey as initially when I saw who she was doing.
Mm-hmm. I saw when I was looking while because they show everyone getting ready, and I think right before Rue talked to her, I saw the wig and I was like, oh, she's doing Adele. Cause and I was like, oh, okay, well, all right. I've never known Adele. I don't know how funny Adele could be.
I completely agree. And that was the part that made me nervous. I was like, please don't sing every answer.
Oh God.
Ginger Minj is not a singer to me. So, I mean, she can sing, but she's not an Adore Delano or a Courtney act.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But so she gets out there, she performs, slam dunk. I was really impressed. She did so well. As was said during Untucked, which we didn't see on film exactly, but apparently she had a whole mess of snack food.
Yeah.
And a glass of wine. And apparently she was taking Twinkies and dipping them in wine.
Oh.
And eating them.
Oh, that just makes my stomach hurt.
I thought that was hysterical. Like to hear that she was fully prepared with props, the characterization. She definitely pulled it off. She and Kennedy had a great little back and forth moment in characters. Mm-hmm. Which is something else I think the audience lives for. They want to see more than just one-liners. They want to see how fully developed your character is.
Yeah.
So I personally had no issue with Ginger. I thought that she did really good.
I really liked what she did. I liked that she really, really, really prepared because she had the food. She had the accent was, but you know, it's hard to do, but she stayed, like they said, she stayed in character from the start to the end. And it just, I was in awe of her because it was perfect and it was funny and she made it funny. And the bit of the cigarette and just everything, just every little thing kind of worked. So kudos to her for putting that together.
Agreed. And
the look was great too.
Yeah, she did. She looked like Adele. Now she looked like, no offense, she looked like a fatter Adele, but you know, which was part of the characterization though. She made fun of Adele's size.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I don't think Adele would be offended.
Yeah.
Watching it. Yeah. I think she would get that it's like Saturday Night Live parody, you know, it's
meant to. I think Adele would have actually would loved it. I don't know. Grant, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know her obviously. Hi Adele. But I think she would have appreciated it and found it funny too. And being British, I think, you know, they have that kind of dry wit humor at times that they're stereotyped for. So I think she would get it. She would understand, you know.
Yeah.
They're taking a crack at her because it's funny, you know.
Okay. So Jaden was Raven.
Yeah. Somebody. And all right, so go ahead if you want to go first.
So I really think that what Michelle Visage said was spot on. You started, it was funny the first time. Like I was like, ooh, go ahead. That was nice. I like that choice. But then it just got more, it just got ridiculous. And that's where I'm thinking you should have come up with something more. So many different, I liked her little lesbian line, but I think you should have just come up with something more.
Right. So for me, Jaden had the look.
Mm-hmm.
I had no question that she was trying to be Raven Simone. Mm-hmm. Raven typically, especially You're Not So Raven, was always known for having a big ponytail, the makeup.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the look was down.
Yeah.
But as we know, that's not everything when it comes to Snatch Game.
Nope.
I agree with you. Yes. Michelle Visage nailed it when she said, the first time it was great, the second time it was cute, and then it was tired. So you need to know more about Raven Simone in order to emulate her. You can't just rely on the kitsch factor of That's So Raven as a TV show, you know.
And you could have. There were I don't know if you watched the show. I did watch That's So Raven. I will admit it. There was a time in my life when the only, like, cable channel I had, one of the cable channels I had was Disney Channel. So it was on my TV because there was nothing fucking else on. And so I watched That So Raven. But there were so many things that she did in that show that you could, if you're going to go that route, if you're going to do the whole That So Raven thing, there are so many other things you could have put into that. She was a fashion designer. There are just all these little things you could have done. You could have been calling Chelsea on the phone. there are so many things that could have been done that weren't, and that I think it, you could have done more. She could have done a lot more, and are chosen a different character, you know?
I didn't have a problem with the character. I think it's just preparation. Hearing that there was more she could have pulled from the TV show, I'm like, girl, you just need to do more research. You needed to have it together better. So when you came to the show, you had a fully formed character. As we were just discussing with Ginger Minj and Adele, that was a fully formed character, front to back, top, bottom, left, right. Yeah. You know, she had a 360 concept of what she was going for.
Yeah.
Jada with Raven, I think, was too two-dimensional. She was relying on the look and some well-known slogans or sayings, you know, some characterization thing. But you can't do that every single time, as we saw with some of the other queens. So
Okay.
Katya did Susie Orman. She was one of the top performers in Snatch Game. I agree with the judges that she could have gone further. Michelle Visage classically said, I know I tell you guys that, but here's why. Let me explain myself. I'm telling you that because I think you can achieve more. Like, and I'm pushing you to rise to that level. And I'm glad that they left that in for editing, because I think if all they showed was her saying, I think you could do more, and then they cut away, it's like, what the hell does that mean? Now I think people start to understand that, Michelle is a pain in the ass as a judge, but she's a pain in the ass because she sees the potential and wants them to snatch the crown.
Yeah.
Like, literally be reaching for it and not just, oh, I'm going to be one of the top three, and if it lands on my head, I'm fantastic. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen more of Susie Orman. Mm-hmm. She did really good. She had some good banter with some of the other girls on the other queens, and it worked really well. I don't know Susie Orman as well. I'm not a big financial TV show watcher, but I know she's like a lesbian and blah 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 blah. You know, so you get that. And it worked. It honestly worked. I liked her look as well. She was one of the few that a little went a long way. The short hair, the you know, the business kind of suit, it went a long way. I knew it when they said the name, I got the picture in my head, and it looked very similar to her. So
I think there were two things that she could have done. Mm-hmm. I think she could have had better hair. I didn't hate her wig, but her wig was typical lesbian, short pixie, you know, like taper cut, whatever you want to call it. I don't know the name. Like, it was a little stereotypical. I wish she had gone with something that, like, how last year Bianca did Judge Judy.
Yeah.
And the hair, like, it looked like Judge Judy, even though you saw Bianca Del Rio. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There was a suspension of disbelief kind of thing last year. This year, I was too busy seeing Katya play Susie Orman as opposed to believing in Susie Orman.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was, I think if she changed the hair, also she missed a key point, which I know this is super nitpicky. Everybody can fuck off because I don't care, and I'm not going to care about your comments. She missed the necklace.
Oh,
Susie Orman has a necklace that she wears 365 days a year, 24/7, and it's on a gold chain, and it's a gold circle, and the chain doesn't come through it; it goes kind of like through the top of the cusp. It's very particular. It's notably a distinct look of hers. You see it in every photo. Like, it's just always there. So because I am aware of Susie Orman, and I don't follow her, but I'm aware enough of her over the years, pushing on QVC and HSN and all that kind of crap. And yes, and stuff. I'm aware of her. And then when she came out, you know, that she was a lesbian and so on and so forth, like, I kind of tuned into her a little bit. And that was one of the things I started paying attention to, is that she's always wearing this damn necklace. And then it clicked in my head. I'm like, yeah, but if you start to arise to a certain level, you have an expectation of a look from your audience, quote unquote, the world. So Rue always will have flawless face, because Matthew Anderson makes that happen. Do you know what I mean? So like Ariana Grande always has the ponytail. It's just one of those things. And so for me, I was disappointed that was a key technicality that Katya didn't have. And I know nobody but me, probably in the whole fucking world of 7 billion, cares. but
about the necklace. But it's
So, anyways,
but yeah, go ahead. That's fine. I agree. And if I had known, I just looked it up. I was like, oh, and there's a necklace, and there's a necklace again. Oh, and there's a necklace there. Okay. All right.
So, I may be a crazy bitch, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Notice those things. All righty. So, Kennedy as Little Richard. I wrote down when she said that in the workroom, I was like, no, girl, no, no, no.
All right, so let's sidestep for a moment to talk about a topic that is related to this. Ginger and Katya, I think, both tell her no. Ginger, I think, is the one that flat out says, you can't do boy drag.
Yep.
It isn't done in Snatch Game, is I think the comment or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, between you and I want to have this conversation. I take issue with that only because there is no rule, to my knowledge, in Snatch Game that says you have to impersonate a woman.
Yeah.
So if you can pull off being a man who happens to be very effeminate and something like a drag queen, I don't know, Liberace.
Yeah.
Or Siegfried and Roy.
Uh-huh.
Or, this is going to be slanderous, Carson Kressley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's people that you can reach for that you could Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think that you can do it. And that being said, I will state it right now. I think Kennedy did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Her impersonation was hilarious. She had everybody laughing for most of the show. It was perfect. It was, not perfect. Perfect is a bad word. It was great for what you needed for Snatch Game. And she took that risk and it paid off because I know how, and even Rue kind of was a little hesitant when she was talking to her about it, but she didn't say no. She didn't say, no, you can't do that. She was like, it's a risk. And it is. It really is a risk. Because traditionally, drag queens are men who do a female impersonation. And then therefore, by extension, they would then do an impersonation of a female actor, actress, celebrity, whatnot. And because of that, I was hesitant. I will admit it. Like I said, I was like, no, girl, no, don't do that. No. But she went with it, and I don't know who else she could have done, and I know that sounds bad, but I don't think off the top of my head who else she could have done, although she could have done a really fabulous Diana Ross if you saw her in the wig that she had on. Ooh. But anyway, that's once again, that could have been all look and there would have been it, you know. But I loved her, Kennedy as Little Richard. It was fantastic. And it won her the challenge. We can go ahead and mention that. It did win her the challenge. I would have put her and Ginger like neck and neck in regards to not only people that, because to me, a good Snatch Game is you have a role and you do a really good job with it and you're hilarious. And those are the two things to win Snatch Game. And they both did that. So.
Yeah. And so since we mentioned about Kennedy winning, it was a double win.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Fuck.
Because RuPaul first says that Kennedy Davenport wins the challenge for doing Little Richard. Then she turns around and she announces that Ginger Minge also wins.
Yeah. I wrote that fucking down right there.
Which is a little bit of a surprise. And as stated, I think in Untucked or whatever, in Confessional, a first ever for Snatch Game.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I think it helped recognize the work and the effort that Ginger put in, because initially when Kennedy's announced, I'm pretty sure you see that Ginger's a little crestfallen, that she's a little disappointed that she didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
But that she is authentically surprised when Rue says that she too wins.
Yeah.
And I think both of them respect each other heavily and get along very well in the game, and therefore they were perfectly content with sharing it.
Yeah. I like that. I forgot that part, and I'm glad that they, because they both deserved it, because they both did a really great fucking job with Snatch Game. So,
moving on, Miss Fame as Donatella Versace. I got two things to say. Wah wah.
Womp womp. Yeah.
I don't know what else to say, Damon. I was really disappointed, especially after the buildup about working on it for years.
Mm-hmm. But,
I realized that Violet's a pain in the ass and she's bitchy. I think she had every right to call out Fame in confessional and be like, well, first of all, I wouldn't have done this. And second of all, I wouldn't have sounded like a Russian accent. And third of all, I was just like, woo. Like,
yeah, no. But it's true. If you, okay. If you're going to fight to play a character that, you know, that someone else has said they're going to do.
Right.
And then you, and ultimately bring Rue into it, kind of. You know, you told Rue that you were planning to do it, and that you, and someone else, and then, but then you get up on out there and you put that lame ass impression out there. And not only that, you weren't even funny. Like,
yeah, like, but we kind of know that about Fame already. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to disparage. Case history this season, now in 7 episodes, says this about Fame. Pretty. Got excellent, like face skills. Got, great makeup, except for the tape line shit. Which, by the way, I think finally somehow got fixed or went away, because I didn't notice this episode.
I haven't noticed it in a while either.
But that's it. She has the look. And then she's not good at acting. She's not good at comedy. She's not good at music. I mean, like, it's like all the arts, not happening. Visual, great. Outside of that, not happening. So that's really disappointing to me. And we'll discuss that more later in the show, because there's definitely something I want to talk about later.
Yeah.
That I was nonplussed to hear other queens say about her. But anyways.
I your womp womp and everything. It fell and didn't even. They said 20% there. I don't even think it was 20% there. I guess if you count 20% as like you look like Donatella Versace, and that's it. because you don't sound like her.
Yeah,
you're not funny. Yeah, I'm trying to think of two other things to kind of get the 5. But yeah, it wasn't there. Yeah. It sucked. Okay, let's move on.
Pearl as Big Ange. All right, now I got to say this. I did not know who the fuck Big Ange is.
I did not either.
Did not ever hear of her name. Ever in my lifetime, to my knowledge, had no clue, was so lost. I was like, why are you looking like a cartoon character, like this weird, modified human, like obviously had plastic surgery thing. Like I wasn't getting it, but I looked at pictures of Big Ange.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, so I'll grant you this. Pearl did not look like Big Ange. She definitely looked like a parody of Big Ange.
Yes.
And so therefore, I think she did pull it off.
With the big painted on lips.
I have never seen her on whatever reality show she's on. But I give her, you know, kudos and, you know, for what she did, because she definitely had a characterization concept. I'm not going to say it's 360. I'm probably going to say it's about 300%, because I think she could have softened it a little bit. I think she could have changed the makeup slightly around the lips. I think she could have reduced and softened the bust to just look a little more realistic as opposed to outlandish. But that's just me. And that's not knowing who the hell this character is, but yeah, she definitely has some great lines and some stuff. My favorite thing is, you definitely get she's mafioso. And my favorite thing is, at one point, I can't remember who said what, and she turns to look up at the upper row, and she's like she just takes her nail and drags it across her throat, like, bitch, you're dead. Like, I'm going to bury your body. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I thought that was awesome. I was like, "Ooh, she totally pulled, you know, the mafioso Don's wife moment."
I'm trying to see. I'm reading this fun little. Trying to read this. Oh, got it. Okay, there's a when I looked up Big Ange on Google, there was a article, and it said Big Ange impersonated on RuPaul's Drag Race too soon. And I was like, well, what the hell happened? And apparently she had a grapefruit-sized tumor removed from her throat.
Really?
So the timing impersonation seems touching. I was like, oh, well. But, you know, I'm going to put it like this, and I'm going to say it in the nicest way possible. We don't know when exactly this was recorded, and I don't know when the issue with the, you know, all this medical stuff kind of happened. If that happened within the past, you know, 4 or 5 months, then the show was already recorded and in the books, you know. So, but anyway, neither here nor there. I just thought, well, oh, well, that's a weird thing to kind of put out there now.
Yeah. No, I completely agree that, like, hearing that, I'm like, oh, well, timing's kind of important, because from what I can tell, there was no intention of harm, you know, against Ange. It was just purely that it's a character that Fame wanted to do. Or sorry, Pearl. And I thought she pulled off a good, funny performance, whether or not authentic to Ange is a different issue. So, I liked it. She wasn't as good as some of the other girls, but she wasn't awful. So
yeah, it's her being safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Violet Chachki was Alyssa Edwards. We've already talked about that. This was her second choice.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that when Rue doesn't laugh at your Donatella Versace impression, and then she laughs at your Alyssa Edwards impersonation, I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to do that one.
I don't know how much more of a ding 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 ding. Like, you are a winner. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how much more of a big fucking Vegas light up sign above your head do you need? Like,
yes.
Pointing down saying, this is it.
Do it. Do it, bitch.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, I wouldn't say it was, you know, amazing, but it was good. She had a lot of her little quirky pops and quirks and whatevers and had a mannerism down. I don't think she wasn't as funny as she could have been, but, you know, I think one of the, I don't know why, but I think I had a, if one of the answers had been back rolls, I would have fallen out, because there was that whole thing where it was back rolls. And
yeah, she missed a couple of points being Alyssa, but I grant her, it was her second choice, so she probably wasn't as fully prepared. And she doesn't strike me as someone who can think that quickly on her feet.
Yeah. Probably not.
Now, to be fair, I went and watched, because WOW Presents actually put out a YouTube video of Alyssa Edwards watching Violet be Alyssa Edwards on the Snatch Game.
Oh, my.
It's not bust a gut funny, but it is funny because Alyssa says, y'all fly me out here from Dallas, Texas. So I'm thinking I'm going to get a proposal. Now I'm like, proposal for what, girl? Like, I realized like you're just dating someone now, but like, and then I was like, oh, maybe she meant a show proposal.
Oh God.
Well, because you know, these girls, they all want to move up and, you know, and hum.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really kind of cracked me up, but watching the video was funny. Cause she didn't know. They told her nothing. They just told her, they flew her to LA, got her into WeHo, like had her get all done up, face, hair, the whole bit. And then like handed her a tablet with the video on it. She's like, what's this? I got to watch something. Oh, it is. It's kind of funny. Like just, and then she gives props. She says to Violet, she says, girl, I give it to you. She's like, I was not expecting that. She said, but she did clock her for one thing, which I thought was very funny. Alyssa said, I didn't see no Red Bull can. What Alyssa's known for, that she just basically survives on Red Bull. So yeah, I thought that was really funny that she basically was like, hey, you know, that was the one thing you missed about me. But yeah,
okay.
I think she did well.
And finally.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So finally, we have Max doing Sharon Needles. She was doing another queen on the show who's been on the show. And I will own that she had the look down. Like, I looked at her and I was like, oh, okay. I had a second to take a little quick, you know, moment to go, oh, that the look was on point, because you looked like Sharon Needles. You had the look down pat. Yeah.
Yeah. Girl was on fleek, as the kids
say. Yes.
Fleek was it. There was no doubt about looking at her that she was channeling Sharon Needles. The orange hair, the black and white pinstripe, like, you know, broad kind of striped jacket. The
black gloves, the makeup, the lipstick, yeah. The pale face,
colored contacts, had it down.
Down.
And then she had one mannerism correct, and that was Sharon's laugh. She did a really good approximation of Sharon's laugh. The very first time she talks, she sounds like Sharon Needles, like the tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that, but that was it.
Yeah.
Girl, you weren't funny.
Mm-mm.
You lost character as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she got inside her head. Like, she realized she wasn't nailing it, and then she got nervous, and it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. And as I hate keep bringing up Rochelle Visage, but Michelle Visage said that Sharon has a very twisted sense of humor, which is true. She does. We've seen it on the show. We've seen her one-liners come back and forth, where she's kind of like, "Hell, she did on her Snatch Game. She did Michelle Visage. So, but you know, her humor is definitely twisted, and her humor is definitely not the kind of humor that we've gotten or expected from Max. Max is classic humor and things like that. And she's mentioned things like, I don't want, you know, potty and poopy jokes and sex jokes, and she's all this stuff. So
she notably carved out what she was doing. And I think that's where she boxed herself in. She said, I'm going to be the kooky, funny Sharon Needles.
Mm-hmm. As opposed
to the body, creepy Sharon Needles.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, oh, why we got to define ourselves so specifically? Like, I'm not sure what this little box thing is about that you're doing yourself. And I think that's, personally for me, I think that's where her characterization took a hit. Because she was relying too much on a slice of who Sharon is, as opposed to all of Sharon in that case.
Yeah. She like, could have done.
So for the instance, you know, the first thing that Rue does, and Rue really threw her one when she said, you know, have you been in any good seances lately? that's something that totally is like served up to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, here you go.
Yep.
Specifically to your character. And she, you know, she doesn't nail it. And I thought, you could have totally been scandalous and said something like, you know, well, as a matter of fact, I was just at a seance and my ex Alaska Thunderfuck spoke to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the, you know, yeah. I realize that we are being unfair because we're not there in that moment live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think off the top of our tip of our brain. But yeah.
Yeah. It honestly was, it just wasn't, it wasn't even there. I say the look was great, but that was it to me. Yeah. Like the look was there and some of the manners were there, but nothing else was there. You need to be funny. As Bianca said, be funny. If you're not funny, sorry.
All right, you ready for the next segment?
Yes.
All right, let's move on.
Yes.
Uptown, downtown, turn the beat around town. Hip hopping, bebopping, New York City beat.
All right, our thoughts on Untucked. I think I know what you're laughing.
Yeah.
Two things is what I wrote down. First thing is disjointed.
Huh.
This is the first Untucked I have not liked.
Oh.
I didn't hate it. I don't know. I didn't connect with it. It was very strange to me. I felt like they did a ton of cuts and they were going back and forth between cameras and I wasn't sure what the hell was going on. The whole like Kiki thing in the beginning was fine. It was very revealing about, you know, the queens talking to each other.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was odd to me. The second thing I had was Max's strangeness.
Mm-hmm.
Max got really strange in this episode. To go back to the regular episode, there was this whole incident with the corset that breathe and had to take the corset off or loosen it and then take like 5 minutes, sat down on the steps of the stage. And then strangely did an impromptu little like stanza of a song.
Yeah.
It was very strange to me. And then of course, Ginger and confessionals like, and cue the dramatics. Which I was like, ooh, girl, that's a bunch of dish. I can't fault Ginger. I think Ginger was a little honest. Like, you know, like it did play off a little desperate. Like,
it honestly, it felt like a like, I hate saying a dick move, but it felt like I'm falling into flames. I've gotten this really bad critique. Let me do something. I need to do something because I need attention. I need to do something. I need to feel better. Like, this has just been a bad week. So here I am doing something. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me. Like, look at me. That's what it felt like. Yeah. But I did write like, cause they kept, and I get what you mean about the disjointed thing, but one of the things that especially in the Untucked that they kept doing, especially before she stepped away, was they kept looking at Max and they kept looking at Max and panning over to Max and cutting her in. And I'm like going, are we trying to, what are we trying to do here, producers? You know, cause you're not really watching Untucked unless you saw the episode. So I know what happened in the episode. So like, why are we like, are we waiting for her to do this? I was fine when she walked away. Like, I was like, okay, good. I don't need to see you for a second.
But then notably, she does kind of say some stuff.
Yeah.
And I got a glimpse of what the queens were bitching about previously.
Mm-hmm.
When the cameras are on, they accused her of being, you know, loving and maternal and complimentary and this character. And then when the cameras are off or they're not nearby.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, they're almost describing her like Jekyll and Hyde, and that her personality changes and that she's bitchy and like gossipy and whatever. And this was the first moment where I was kind of like, wow, like they might be onto something. Like they might seriously not, they might not be lying. Like they might honestly be trying to say, you know,
faced. Yeah. The stepping away thing was a little odd to me, but I could see why. Cause she, this is the first time in a long, in a while that she's gotten a really, really bad critique. She's either been safe or she's been, you know, up there and winning, I believe. And Max. Yeah. She's won a couple of challenges and she's either been safe or won until now.
Yeah. I agree. I was looking at the grid as well. She's won twice and been safe all other times.
Yeah.
So this can be a bit of a bruise to the ego. And she says that in confessional. She's like, I did not see that coming. Like she got it, but you know, she didn't expect to be in bottom two.
Yeah.
And then when she got it, she realized it's fair. I fucked up.
Yeah. So my takes on my note on this thing was, I said I may not want to watch this one. And the only reason I said that is, the main reason I said it was because the two people who were safe and got sent back were Pearl and Violet. I've not been big fans of theirs. So I was kind of like, this is going to get really boring really quickly. So maybe I should just fast forward. But I didn't. Because I love the show, so whatever. So I did kind of get the listen. And I'm kind of glad I did, because we got a few little, we got a good little banter back and forth between these two girls who haven't really had a chance to talk to each other, you know, or at least we've seen. Mm-hmm. And they're two of the youngest queens on the show. And it was good to sort of hear their take on things. We've heard from the old girls. We've heard from like Ginger and Kennedy and Katya and all of them and all that. We've heard that last week, especially. Now we get to get the other side of the fence, as it were, to kind of figure out, you know, where their heads are, where how they feel about the show and how they're, where they're going and everything. And I kind of was glad to get that, even, you know, even if just for a little while, because it's a different perspective on the same show that these other people are doing. So,
yeah. Agreed.
There was something else I wanted to say. Yeah, they were all kind of, yeah. I'm again, a little upset with Violet, with her, once again, just, she does this, quick little jab, these other quick little like stabs. She did a stab at Ginger about her outfit. The leather and lace was the theme of the runway. And it was everyone's, you know, sort of take on it. And Ginger did a white leather, white lace, kind of an Elvis kind of throwback kind of look. And I personally loved it. And a lot of people did too. And Violet was like, I didn't think I would like it, but I did. You know, and it's just like, really? You didn't really need to say that. You could have just said, I liked it. You know, you don't need to say, like, you know, I really hate you, but, you know, that was kind of good. You know, like, fuck you too. Backhanded compliments, not allowed in this game.
Yeah, I agree that we learned a little bit more about those two and their talk and stuff like that. And so... I was not won over, but it was.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm.
It helped color in the picture and the coloring book of them a little more. So,
yeah. Throw back a little bit more of the veil.
Agreed. Ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Takeaways. I have one basic takeaway, and that is breaking the rules works if you execute. And for that, I give it to Kennedy because she did boy drag, quote unquote, as Little Richard and got all the recognition for it.
Yeah.
Now, personally, and this is just me, if I compare Ginger and Kennedy in this challenge at Snatch Game, I give it to Ginger because I liked her Adele more than I liked Kennedy's Little Richard. Mm-hmm. Kennedy's Little Richard was funny, like body funny, at a point or two that was unexpected, but I got tired of the shtick with the whoo, like where she's singing, and then she's like, shut up. And I was like, all right, girl, you said it like five times. And if we're going to get on Jaden about the Raven thing, why are we not getting on you about the that Little Richard thing?
But I think she did. Well, okay. I think, okay, there are two things. And I'm just going to put it, because Little Richard just is this off-the-wall character to me to just begin with. But he also has... what's the word I'm looking for? He does that all the fucking time. So you would expect if Little Richard were on a Snatch Game or Match Game show that you would hear it all the fucking time. Whereas the Raven sort of kind of thing is just it. Yeah. That could fall flat really quickly. But to me, there's also she. With Little Richard, she did a lot more than just that and just the shut up. She had, because Little Richard has never, I don't think he's ever officially come out.
Well, that's what I mean by body. I mean,
yeah.
When they talk about Batman and Robin,
yeah,
and her answer is that they turned the Batcave into a glory hole, like a bathhouse with a glory hole. I was like, I mean, I was shocked. I was like, girl, like, that's scandalous. Like, you know, everyone knows, quote unquote, the Little Richard is a flaming queen, but
nobody talks about it.
I mean, like, as an example, tangent, Barry Manilow, Miss Manilow, just came out recently in the news. It went to, like, you know, TMZ and then People Magazine or whatever, that last year, apparently, he married his longtime manager. I have seen Barry Manilow perform several times in concert. My mother's a big fan of his. She's a fan-a-low. Here's my surprise face.
I will own that I did not know, but then again, I'm not like Barry Manilow. Let's listen to and follow and do all that with that. Oh, yeah.
Yes, he has written the songs that make the whole world sing. But I'm bumped. The point is, he's been a dandy for a long time. And the fact that he and Clay Aiken teamed up and, you know, did some stuff together for singing and that, there was a part of me that was like, girl, I see what you're doing on camera. In the back of my mind, I was like, Clay, honey, I didn't know you liked older men. But I honestly don't know if anything happened. And hey, who knows if Barry and his manager husband have an open relationship. I don't give a shit.
Anyway, yeah, it's just
none of my business. And I hope that they're happy. That's my whole point. So to go back to Kennedy poking fun at Little Richard being a big flaming queen, I was like, wow. Like, those days I thought were not behind us, but really kind of shelved that we would pull somebody out of the closet, whether they were ready or not, in jest. So, like Kathy Griffin does it all the time, but that's her shtick as a comedian, is to talk about people so cutthroat and ridiculous in a way.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for that out of Kennedy. And so kudos to her that she did do that. So that's what I mean by, if you break the rules and you execute it well, kudos to you. Cause I think that she set a new standard, just like when Sharon Needles did Michelle Visage.
Yeah.
You broke the rules. You imitated a judge.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember who the first one was that broke the rules and performed as another queen.
Hmm.
But, you know what I mean? I think it was two or three seasons ago, someone did somebody else. And so therefore I think this is a new frontier, because now future contestants will think about, can they pull off male drag? And as we just discussed, it can be done, but you've got to execute it and it's got to make sense. So as an example, here's someone that someone could do, but you got to do it right. Someone could do Tim Gunn.
Uh-huh.
While Tim Gunn seems very dour and, you know, like not prissy, you know what I mean? But, you know, just kind of very prim and proper. I think you could do Tim Gunn if you knew how to do it and you practice.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So that's my takeaway. Breaking the rules works if you execute.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you got to know what you're doing. And so it does pay off to take a risk.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely does. So my takeaway is something I've kind of mentioned already before, is look isn't everything. You can't rely on the look of your impersonation, as it were, to get you through the contest, to get you through this specific challenge. Also, just in general, in the show, you know, you can't just rely on look. Miss Fame had a look down. Jaden had a look down. Max had the look down. You know, all three of you had to look down, but that was about it. And this specific challenge, you need more than that to do it. And I feel that way about the show in general, but you can't just, like, you know, Violet as Alyssa Edwards was, I don't think she looked exactly like her. I think she had some good, you know, take away the big hair, the nails, you know, she has some of the things that are indicative of, you know, Alyssa Edwards, but she had a voice. She had some of the catchphrases and mannerisms and whatnot down. And that's what helps you in the end. Little Richard, she did not look like Little Richard. No. No. That little mustache, though. but she had all the jokes down. She had all the mannerism down. She had some very funny things to put in to add to the character. So look isn't everything. Same with, like, Adele. Oh, my God. Yeah, the look was down. But you also had this, like you said, well-rounded characterization that was hilarious. So, yeah, just look isn't everything. That's my takeaway from this show. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future, where we're going.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look is not everything. And the three that you named were in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So Fame was low.
Uh-huh.
But she said she was saved. Jaden and Max lip sync for their life.
Yes.
And not a big surprise, Max went home.
Mm.
I realize other people probably are carrying that torch, like previous episodes, that Rue got it wrong. I disagree. I think Rue got it right. I don't think Max sold it. I think she did okay. She did all right. But Jaden was hungry. Girl was not letting go of the opportunity.
No. What's the thing I was thinking of? I don't think she got it wrong. I think Max really failed in this challenge. I think she could have done a lot better overall. I hate to say she could have done a different character entirely and probably nailed it. The only reason I don't think she should have gone home yet is because Jaden has already been told a couple of times to push it, to get out there, to bring it, and she still isn't bringing it. You know, she was safe a couple of weeks ago in the Shakespeare thing. She fell in the bottom last week with the God damn it. Anyway, but you know, the awards, was it the awards? Anyway, whatever it was last week. The Rue Hollywood stories. God damn it. Anyway, so you have, you know, she didn't do it, and it was, once again, it was an acting thing. But to me, you've had your chances, and I felt like, although you kicked ass on that lip sync, I think you should have gone, just because I don't think this is, you know, I think we've seen all we need to see from her. Not hating on her. Well, right. Actually, kind of hating on her, but just, I think you've gone as far as you need to go in this season.
I look at it this way. I'm looking at the bigger picture. She's not going to make top three. She's not going to win. Unless something crazy happens and the rest of the queens come down with typhoid or they really fuck it up left and right, I don't see Jaden going all the way to the end. So I'm okay with this, because it's like earlier when Trixie went home, I was like, the order's in the wrong. Like, it should have been flipped.
Yeah.
I think that technically Max is better overall and should have stuck around for another week, and Jaden should have gone home. But the reality is Jaden outperformed. So I don't expect Jaden to last forever.
Mm. Okay.
He may outlast some other queens. She could technically, in my opinion, outlast Fame.
Mm.
And she could outlast Pearl.
Huh.
Possibly even Violet, which sounds really strange, but girl can lip sync.
Yeah.
So she has been saving herself. I'll be very curious to see if she gets to triple or quadruple. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she keeps going to the bottom too, and she just keeps.
Yeah.
By that finger, like the fake nail press on.
Yeah.
Like, clawing and
be alive.
But that's what that moment's about. So
she has been doing, honestly, kick-ass jobs with these lip syncs. Last week with Break Free, this week with the No More Lies, which, love that song. That throws me back to my youth. Love that fucking song. And it's just one of those, like, she got it. And yeah, it just, I'm trying to figure out about the three. I want to know if there's a three, has it ever, does it happen that way or not? And I want to like go through all the seasons and see if someone has done it three times and won or lost. And I'm trying to figure that out. Well, I found a rule that breaks someone that breaks it. Coco okay. Montrese. She was in the bottom two, four, three times before she got eliminated. So there you go. Just putting it out there.
Okay.
So it can happen where someone, I was trying to look back and see, because we were talking about who did a drag queen parody first. Now we're just going backwards in the seasons. So there we go. Anyway, neither here nor there, but there. Anyway, shall we move on? Are we ready to move on?
To quote Mrs. Kasha Davis, there's always time for a cocktail.
It's always room for a cocktail.
Mm-hmm, girl.
I ain't got no ice, it's melted. Raspberry vodka and diet cherry Pepsi. It's good. It's good. Okay.
So it's times for snaps and eye rolls, hits and misses, as we say. I'm going to give my snaps to Miss Fame for being there when Katya really needed her.
Yes. I love that. It was so wonderful. And it added a new layer to this show that we've not seen. We now know why there are glasses with drinks and glasses with water.
Right. I presumed that from the first episode. I was like, Max, I think, was the one that had a clear drink. The only one I noticed that was clear. Now, technically, at that time, it could have been just cranberry juice in the non-alcoholic ones. But we did find out, two episodes ago that Miss Fame struggled with addiction at the age of 20. She's now 29, so she's been sober for 9 years. When her mom did the little, heartfelt video thing. And then Katya said to her in this episode in the workroom, "Can I talk to you? Seriously?" And she said, "Sure." And she came over and they sat down and they had a little talk. And Katya opened up and said, I'm having a hard time. Like, I'm really struggling. And, she explained, about that she's, in recovery. And Miss Fame, asked her, how long has it been? And she said, I think a year, year and a half about that. And she said, but every day here feels like I'm starting all over again. And, and they had this amazing bonding moment. And Katya, had a breakdown. The only thing that was missing from this moment was the reactions of the other queens.
Yeah.
It seemed so insular, like so closed off. It was weird. It was like nobody else knew it happened.
Yeah.
That bothered me because I was like, you've created a family. You are sisters, like forever bonded through this season's experience together, along with all the other girls. So I'm confused as to why. I mean, maybe they had no footage to use to show anybody else seeing it happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everybody comes over and it's a big kumbaya group hug.
Yeah.
Saying it was odd to me that it was so focused on the two of them. And then like, we had no reference to anything else, like that anybody noticed that it happened.
No one else was paying attention. Like, no one else was suddenly paying attention when, like, Katya basically starts, crying and bawling in tears. Like no one saw that. None of the other queens in this relatively small workroom. I mean, I wouldn't say it's tiny, but, you're going to be looking. I don't know how on point you are or whatever you're doing. You're going to, hear something or see something will catch your eye, and everyone kind of had an idea of what was going on and were giving them their moment, like purposefully not paying attention for the sake of like let them, because they maybe know that they share that addiction recovery kind of thing. And we're like, let them have their moment because they probably need to do it. And let me just be over here getting ready. It's possible, but I don't think that's the case. But I agree with you. I think some of the reaction from the other girls would have been nice to have at least seen, even if just like just something simple to just sort of give us that they're paying attention.
Right. No, I agree. So those are my snaps to Miss Fame for being there for Katya. Eye rolls.
Uh-oh.
Jaden, your runway look. Sorry, girl. Does not cut it. I haven't felt this way about any of her looks until now. I've understood the struggle that the judges don't like her look.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, girl. It looked very amateur. It looked like first time out in drag. Your hair was big, Chaka Khan beautiful. Your face was painted, and that was about it.
Yeah,
I felt bad. So
I didn't hate her look. I just, You know how they say sometimes a little goes a long way? And this one, that didn't work. She had very little lace on this. I don't even know if she was calling it a nude illusion. I don't know if she was doing that. I think I remember her mentioning something along those lines. But if that's what you were going for, fail. Because it looked like, to me, it looked like a beige top with some points of lace sort of cut out and pasted on it, like here, there, and everywhere kind of thing. It didn't look together. Now, if you had taken a shirt of lace and then put like areas of like a darker fabric or a lighter fabric to give that more illusion, and then maybe painted it with some of your makeup to give it a little bit more of the, I'm giving you an illusion of that I'm wearing nothing, you know, kind of thing, would have liked it a little bit more. The skirt was okay. I would have liked it only because I like the, you're a big girl, so give yourself a little bit more bigness there to kind of narrow the waist, you know. But yeah,
here's my immediate thoughts while you're talking. I'm trying to like, how could she improve it? Here's what I think. She would have done great to have worn a neon bright colored bra, like a sports bra,
mm-hmm.
a hot pink or hot neon green.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Wear that and put a lace, halter top over it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been three-quarter sleeve or full sleeve, or short sleeve, and then with lace gloves to match. So you have this lace thing that you're playing up, and then you could have put a big bow in your hair of the matching color and put some crinoline underneath that leather skirt, which I think was pleather, nothing against her, and poof it out a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. Really kind of rock an 80s, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
if you're gonna have that big ass hair, you need to, yeah.
I think she would have not been clocked as badly had she just executed something that I know she would have been clocked for being basic.
Yeah.
But I just described, I would fully expect the judges to say, we've seen it before. Well, guess what? Compared to what you did, it would have been better because you got red for what you have. So
yeah. It could have been so much more. And given what everyone else did, it looked worse than it could have, than it was, because of what everyone else kind of did.
Right.
I loved Max's look, even though she lost. I haven't got to at home. I loved her, like the corset thing with the things and her Black Widow. Did you see the Black Widow hourglass in the back?
Not until she was walking away at the end of her runway.
Yeah, well, that's when I saw it too. But yeah.
Right, no, but I mean, it was the last thing I noticed about her.
Yeah,
and that was disappointing to me because I felt it should have been accentuated more. I would have been more impressed if the Black Widow hourglass or whatever had been on the corset somehow in the design.
Well. I think she was going for what a Black Widow has, and the Black Widow thing is usually on the lower part of the body.
Correct.
And it's on the back.
Girl, she ain't got no booty.
I know, but still.
Added that shit with a couch cushion, then I would have noticed it sooner. But she got a little baby dupa.
No booty.
Little booty.
And that's where no booty. Okay.
What are your snaps, bro?
Okay. So my snaps go to Kennedy for taking that risk and succeeding and doing a really good job. Like I said, I would have loved her doing something different, but she went and took that risk and did really well with it. So kudos to her, snaps to her for not only taking a risk, but it winning her the challenge with Ginger. So yeah, snaps to her. And again, And I, once again, we've talked about it already, but Jaden, step it up. Like, yeah, you and I are in agreement that I don't think she's going to win, but girl, I loved your look last week, your prison runway, whatever look. That was flawless. And it worked really well. I know it sounds kinky, but it worked really well with the break free lip sync that you ended up having to do. Having said that, you went from here to here on runway. Like I like this look. I did not like this look. You could have done so much better. Leather and lace is a classic like drag queen thing. And there's so much you could have done. So much you could have done with it. And I you need to step it up. And you better step it up next week. Cause guess what? Something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That you might want to get up for it. Step it up, bitch. Step it up.
Yeah. You ready to get to our closing thoughts?
Sure thing.
All right. My final impression, my closing thoughts is apparently the competition is on.
Uh-oh.
And I got a little clip to go with it. This is the shock heard around the world in the RuPaul family. Ru made an announcement after sending Max home. Now, in Untucked, the audio of what I'm about to play overlays Max leaving the stage. I don't know if this is true to real time because Max doesn't respond. Like, mm-hmm. There's no recognition for Max hearing what's said. Now, if it did happen that way in real time, then Max could have been disconnected emotionally and is processing being eliminated.
Yeah.
And is missing this key thing that's being said by Ru. Sure. Then again, it could have happened afterwards. It could have been very strategically done after Max was out of the soundstage and was already going back to the workroom, which I think is another building across the lot. So that was a big, big deal. And so I'm going to play this clip, and then I want us to talk about the nuance of what the implication is here.
Mm-hmm.
With this. So that being said.
My seven sisters, I have a confession to make. I fear I've made a terrible mistake, that I've let one of the eliminated queens go home too soon.
Rue, girl, what?
I'm just not sure which one. Could it be Tempest Du Jour, Sasha Bell, Jasmine Masters, Trixie Mattel, Mrs. Kasha Davis, Candy Ho, or Max?
No, no, no!
Well, I'm sure it'll come to me.
And that is the end of the show.
Yes.
No, let the music play. Everybody kiki it up and dance. It is a very somber, weird left turn at Albuquerque moment.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps now. I didn't have goosebumps when it happened, but I got goosebumps now just to like listen to it. So Ru reveals she feels she's made a mistake and she wants to bring back a queen.
Which is something she's done in years past.
She has. Now, there is a campaign going on online.
Of course there is.
About who to bring back. And I see what part of your closing thoughts are. I'm going to let you take the first half of your closing thoughts because I think this all comes together. Okay,
hold on. Where's my thought? What did I say? I'm going to write something now. Oh, so yeah, the first half, just who are they bringing back? Like, they're bringing somebody back. Who are they bringing back? And I would love for you and I to dialogue on that, because personally, I have a couple ideas of who I think they can bring back or should bring back. And then I have my idea of who they probably will bring back. And they're slightly different.
I will say this. When I just listened to it again, I'm going to stand corrected because I made a comment about to someone in person. I said, no one said it was going to be someone from this season.
True.
But she did list all the previous contestants. So yeah. I think it's fair to presume that it is one of the eliminated queens from season 7 and not, as everyone has been joking about, Shangela coming back third time.
That would just be it.
So I want to jump to something very odd that happened. Untucked. When, please forgive me because I got to go back and look at the grid real fast. When Violet and Pearl are talking backstage because they're safe.
Uh-huh.
Pearl says to Violet, I'm paraphrasing, how fucked up would it be if they brought back one of the queens?
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
But here's the really weird thing. I put my hand on whatever you want and bet my assets that conversation had absolutely nothing to do with what Rue later says.
Huh.
Because there's no way, I think that at that moment when they do that and they're safe, that they have any idea that Rue is going to bring somebody back.
Yeah.
So I think that's the part that's really kind of screwed up is that this does happen. Like they talk about it and then it happens.
Yeah. I'm on Ross, but now that I knew that they talked about it in Untucked, I was kind of like, why didn't they like show them getting all like, oh my God, I'm a psychic. I'm Raven Simone. they had this perfect fucking opportunity for something like that to happen. And they're just, but anyway, I actually wrote down foreshadowing. I literally wrote it down when I saw it. And I was like, oh, do they know? No, I knew they didn't really know. But it just, I think it's hilarious that they were talking about it and did it happen.
Like, okay.
How fucking would it be?
They didn't know. Here's my segue about.
Uh-oh. What happened? What happened? Hi. We'll be right back.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Am I here?
Okay.
Am I here? Okay.
I warned you about the technical difficulty issue I'm having on my end.
Woo. I was like, and there she goes.
I'm back.
And I said, what had happened was.
So I'll be curious to see how the video plays later. But so in. I forgot where I was going to go with this. So we talk about the foreshadowing issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a campaign online right now that's going on about, you know, bring back my queen.
Yeah.
Audience people are supposed to be voting for which queen they want brought back. All right, I'm about to lay down some tea. Because I think the show and or the producers, WoW Presents, somebody somewhere, don't think we are the stupidest motherfuckers on the face of the earth.
Oh, really?
And here's why.
Why?
When did they record the show?
I knew that was where you were going.
When did they record the show?
A while back. I don't know months when ago. Exactly. Usually in the summer.
Right. Months ago. So what the fuck is the point in having an online campaign to bring back a queen when it's already done?
I wish I knew.
Just to stir up the audience? That's futile. Why bother? It pisses me off, actually, a little bit, because I'm like, it's a stunt.
Yep.
I would have been okay with you not doing the online campaign.
Yeah.
I'm like, because guess what we're not doing? We are not going back and dragging back seven queens and somebody else to record the second half of the season. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So somebody has already left and is coming back.
Yep.
So because of that, the online campaign seems like a bunch of bullshit. And I don't it really kind of annoys me. I'm like, why are you bothering with, like, you know, why would you kick the hornet's nest when it's already on the ground?
Yeah. You know, so unlike
lie.
Because unlike what they've done in the, you know, for the finales, where they ultimately crown all three girls the same night and then they air whoever wants to win, blah, 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 blah. They can't really do that here. You can't do that halfway through the show and be like, oh, we're going to bring somebody back. Okay. Who do we bring back now, America? I
think... okay, I will say this. Technically, it is possible, but very fucking expensive.
Yeah.
To bring back seven queens.
Yeah.
Something. To bring back seven queens and play out seven scenarios.
Oh, God. That would just be shit.
Because that means they have at least seven episodes in the can recorded of a queen coming back and then immediately being eliminated a second time. And if they don't get immediately eliminated the second time, then they have to play out every single one of those scenarios. It's like the most fucked up choose your own adventure story ever.
Flipping through the pages, going through everything.
Yeah. I mean, I just, so I'm like, you know what? That's really trite. It's really annoying and highly disappointing that I feel like they're playing the audience for the drama about who they want back instead of just wait and see who does Root pick. You know what I mean? And campaigning. Yeah. I think the campaign online would be much better if they were spinning it as who would you like to see back? Do you know what I mean? As opposed to who you can bring back. And maybe I'm misunderstanding, but the way I'm taking it is the campaign is about who you can bring back to the show. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. It's already done.
Yep. Been there, done that. We need to. So yeah, who do you think is going to be brought back? Who do you think is going to be brought back?
I only have one preference. I have two options.
Okay. Your preference is?
Well, I'll go with my options first.
Okay, fine.
My two options are Max and Trixie Mattel.
Okay.
My preference is Trixie.
Mm.
Because I think she would give the current contestants a run for their money. There is nothing like the hunger of a queen who has been eliminated and comes back.
Yeah.
If you've been slapped that much with a harsh reality that you're gone and then you get to come back, I would expect some real competition for at least one episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an uphill battle because all the rest of the girls want you gone again.
Yeah.
Like, they were good with you gone the first time. Now they want you really gone.
Get out.
So there's really nobody else that I want back. No offense. Mm-hmm. Nobody else really. I felt left before their time.
Mm-hmm. And
I still don't see Trixie, if she does get the opportunity to come back, I don't see her going all the way to the end to win.
Yeah.
But, and with Max, I don't know. I guess I was just really kind of disappointed in the end. And I'm like, no. Like, your leaving felt right, even if it was ahead of time. Trixie's felt both ahead of time and not right.
Yeah.
For me. So
No.
Put the two side by side. I think Trixie comes up a little higher because when she left, not only did I think it was early, I also felt she wasn't at the point that I wanted her to go, where I was like, yeah, girl, you fucked up. Like, you're bad at what you're doing or whatever.
Yeah.
Max, on the other hand, I was like, girl, you fucked up. And yeah, you're leaving to work, but you're leaving a week early. I think Jaden should have gone, but you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
They're yeah. close, but to me, Trixie's the one that ekes out, I guess, over Max. That's me. What about you?
For me, let's see. My option, I would choose either, I think it would be, okay. I have three things. Trixie, I think, should do it. They should bring her back. I feel like she did. I think, like you, that she left before her time and that her elimination was not right compared to her next to Pearl. I have a feeling they're going to bring back Max. And only because of what happened in this episode and the Untucked. Because she did not react to them saying anything. And the way she sort of left felt different. And I know it seems weird, but it just felt different than everyone else's in the past. A little bit, not a lot, but I just had this weird feeling about it. And I don't know what it is. I think it would be hilarious if they brought Jasmine Masters back. I don't think they're going to. I just think it would just be like of all the people who would be controversial to bring back, it would be her. And I feel as though all the queens would really, 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 really like combine to get her out because nobody really liked her. Well, except for maybe Kennedy. But you know, I just feel like if they wanted to like stir that big ass pot, bring Jasmine Masters back. Cause
I think your third option is valid, and here's why. If you recall, when Jasmine was let go, there's like three things that are adding up to what you're talking about. One, her shit was never revealed.
Mm-hmm.
When she left, you never got to see the rest of her stuff. And Michelle Visage strategically said in the What You're Packing episode, you know, all your stuff is already put away. And Jasmine said, I might give it to another queen. There's no reason to show it because it should be revealed when it should be revealed.
Hmm.
Second thing, Michelle Visage says to her, Rue fought so hard to get you on this show. So if that's true, Rue might still feel in her heart that Jasmine deserves another chance, even though she screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And basically gave up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'd be very curious to see how that plays out. Now, my feeling on it is, since Jasmine, you know, walked away.
Yeah.
Jasmine should be gracious and decline a second chance.
True.
I would like to see that play out. I would like to see them.
Jasmine. I would love that. Say,
you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
I did it. I'm done. I do not want to go back.
Yeah.
And then I would stand up and give her an applause for that. Because I would be like, you go, girl. You know yourself so well. You were like,
yep.
I've moved on. I'm not hateful. I do not regret. I'm done and I've moved on. Somebody else can take that second chance spot.
Mm-mm.
I think that would piss a lot of people off, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But I would respect her. I would be like, good on you. If you are so true to who you are and you say, I know me, I don't need to do it again.
And that would be, sounds bad, but that would be good TV. If they offered it to Jasmine and Jasmine, they show it and they open the doors. Like, okay, here's how they do it. Sorry, my mind just going. Like, they have all the queens in the workroom. And they're like, we're bringing somebody back. And QTV, and up pops Jasmine Masters. And she says something, I don't know what, you know, just like, you know, da 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 da. And then the doors swing open. And in comes Michelle Visage, because RuPaul's already in the room, or in comes RuPaul. And she goes, well, you know, we offered Jasmine the opportunity to come back, and she politely declined or respectfully declined. Or, you know, even they, maybe they even show her declining kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just because it, you know, the girls are all like, oh shit, oh no, who's coming? And then right. they know who's coming, they know who they think is coming, and then when no one comes, they're like, what? Yeah,
I agree with you. I think that would play out really well if they staged it that way, that Rue comes in and says, you know, she's bringing back one of her queens. They open the doors, nobody walks in, and then Rue says, actually, we have a little video message. And then it goes to Jasmine, and Jasmine starts off with her classic statement, no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade, girls. But
yeah,
I've declined the second opportunity to come back. And while people might think that's crazy, I feel that I have done what I wanted to do, and I am good with it.
Yeah.
So I am humble, and I thank RuPaul and, you know, everybody for the opportunity, but no.
No.
And then they go back to Rue's face. Well, they go to the queen's faces, because they're probably all like jaw on the floor.
Yeah.
First of all, you got who is offered the opportunity. Second of all, that she declined it, because they're probably all like,
yeah,
how the fuck did you do that? And then you go back to Rue, and then Rue says, so I moved to another queen. And that's when, I don't know, someone else walks in.
They roll in the big Christmas gift, and out pops Chandler. No.
That would be funny.
Or someone from another, or someone else from another season. I'm just, it's so possible that it could go somewhere. I could see it going in this weird direction. I'm
honestly, I would die if Raven popped up. Instead of Shangela, Raven is very vocal that she wants another chance to win coin and get the crown. She will be out for blood if she comes back on All Stars 2.
Mm-mm-mm.
No doubt about it. So I think it would be funny if they roll in a big, you know, box or whatever, and then Raven pops out and watch all the girls shit themselves in the workroom. Because they know it's on, like, and she will cut every one of them bitches' wigs right then and there in front of them. She'll just go straight over with the scissors and be like,
like, bye, bitches.
Yeah. Now, what I think would be funny is if Raven was the one that popped out, and then Rue says, Raven, what you doing here? Well, you said you're going to bring back one of your girls. Raven? That was not your time. You know what I mean? Like this whole like this silly back and forth thing. I think that would be
man.
And then she'd be like, oh come on. She'd be like, no. And then Raven would like look at all of them and basically be like, I'm watching you.
Got my eye and my big lips on all of you.
So yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so
move on with your closing thoughts so we can wrap up the show.
Yeah. So today, right, not too long before we were recording the episode, I saw this issue and thank the Geeky Bears on Facebook group for this one. There was a article someone had posted about the RuPaul's Drag Race, and it says, the title of the article is Maybe the Queens Aren't the Problem on RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's a very interesting editorialist piece about people. Okay, you and I have mentioned more than once on the show that people are not really been a big fan of this season. They've been like, oh my God, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. There have been so many like theories about like the queens are not funny and they're terrible and there's no personalities and there's no drama and this, that, and the other. And as I mentioned, Snatch Game is one of those, has become one of those known things. So people need to do really well in it. You can't just half-ass it, you know? So they talk about in this article about the Snatch Game and about how maybe it's not the queens. And she gives a very the author gives a very good theory about what is going on with this season and why it's not as good as previous seasons. And it's a very valid, very good theory.
Yeah, so before we recorded, which is why we started a little bit later than we expected to, but I read the article and I agree that I think it's a well thought out and stated comment from Miss Brianna LaRose, the author. Somewhere about a couple paragraphs in, she says, but can we really blame the queens? Sure, there are no lovable underdogs like Adore Delano this season, and there are no unintentional characters like Alyssa Edwards or joyful, clueless foreigners like Yara Sophia. But these queens don't suck, guys. Ginger is a pro, Katya is a one-liner factory, and Kennedy is unexpectedly hilarious. And Snatch Game was miraculously not a train wreck.
Yeah, total train wreck.
So she basically wraps it up and says, you know, her philosophy is it's the producers. And she says, maybe if the producers stop trying to cram these girls into a formula they obviously assume is foolproof and instead cut the show around what these specific queens are good at, we'd all have a much better time.
Yeah.
And then she says something revealing that I never read anywhere or know about. Miss Brianna says, I remember reading that Jasmine Masters brought along 3 suitcases full of food. And then in italics, why in God's name would we not get to see that on the show?
Yeah.
Is it really more fun to see her being nasty and cutting than silly and genuine? Why can't we have more challenges where the queens have to get creative, drawing on their own experience and skill rather than reading cheesy script after cheesy script? So she basically wraps it up and says, Kitty girls, Drag Race is an institution at this point. It was trending on Facebook last night, for God's sake. But the show became a mainstream pop hit in the first place because it was a fun slice of life of a community many viewers had very little information about. Well, now we know what drag is about and we love it. So keep showing us something new. If Rue and crew really want to make the show last, they're going to have to stop resting on pretty, as Michelle would say.
Yeah. This article hits the nail on the head for me in regards to, because as soon as I read it, it like a light bulb went off. Cause like, why is this so, I'm not saying I'm hating it, but I will admit that this has not been like my, oh my God, you know, I can't wait to watch it kind of, you know, season. And when the way she said it, it hit. I was like, oh my God, that's right. This is why it doesn't. There's a lot of formulaic things going on. There's a lot of the same things, the same notes getting hit and whatnot. And I think people are genuinely over it. You know, like why?
I think they're bored.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, this is not exciting. Where's the drama? Where's the, you know, the originality or whatever?
Yeah.
And I do think the contestant lineup is a bit traditional or predictable. You've got a couple big girls. You've got a Puerto Rican. You've got skinny white girls. You got the one that's pretty, who has no talent. I'm looking at you, Fame. I say that because it was revealed today that she thought she, or yesterday during the show, whatever, it was revealed and untucked that she was worried she was in the bottom two and she doesn't lip sync. What the fuck is that? This is the biggest bombshell right up next to I don't sew. What? Girl, did you seriously think you were going to go all the way to top three and never be in the bottom two and lip sync for your life? Are you fucking kidding me? Hell no. When I learned that, I was like, you got to go. I want you in bottom two and I want Jaden to mop the floor with your weave.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't got time. I was so irritated with that. I was like, you are pretty. You are polished. You have good poise. You look picture perfect. And then I'm done with you. I cannot believe I heard that she doesn't lip sync. And then Kennedy is giving her tips on hairography about pinning in her long hair so she could whip it all around for her lips. I was like, really? Really? Really?
Done. No, there is no like...
Hated your tape lines, and now I am really irritated with the fact that you don't apparently have skill.
You're
a fucking drag queen. Not a doll, a drag queen.
Yas. Drink your drink. Stir that tea.
I'm about gone. It's going to be gone in the next 30 seconds because I'm just so confused. I'm over it.
Serve that tea. But I just, but yeah, I agree with this article. I think it makes sense. And it's one reason why I wanted to put it out there, because genuinely, this is why I feel is what's going on with this season. And yeah, oh my God, if we've got like a Miss Fame that is pretty and can't really do shit, and we've got the big girls, we've got the skinny bitches, we've got the Puerto Rican, we got what are we missing? What
are we missing? Funny girl.
Yeah.
That's Katya.
Yeah.
We had
a comedy queen.
Yeah, we had a comedy queen. We had Trixie. We had a drama queen, which is Max.
Yeah,
we had an old queen who went through a big life transformation, and that was Tempest du Jour.
Mm-hmm.
We had the baby drag, Sacha Bell.
Yeah,
I mean, like I hate saying it, but I knew that when I saw the lineup, I was like, well, this is this one, and this is this one. Like all reality shows, you get to a certain point, and you're like, and you're filling a slot, and that's unfortunate. But hey, whatever.
But yeah, so like, yeah, if that's what we're hoping for, then I agree with this article writer, Miss LaRose, and that we're going to be to the point where this won't last, where we'll get to a season where people are like, oh, I'm done. Okay.
Now, as a counterpoint, though, the first 2 weeks, I think, that the show premiered this season, Logo extended for season 8 automatically.
Yeah.
Rumor has it, Michelle spilled accidentally that seasons 9 and 10 are penciled. So while we hear a lot of people complaining that they don't like the show, if what those things are true that I just said, then the numbers prove different. Meaning, yeah. Logo knows where their bread gets buttered. They know where the money's coming in from. So somehow eyeballs are watching the show to pay for the advertising, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's the audience that's changing. Maybe now more and more non-gay men are watching the show than ever before. It's been said over the years that straight women have been a large population of the audience. But maybe drag really has gone mainstream, and maybe now a lot of people watch it across a lot of demographics, and that's the change. And that's where I think the gay male community is pissy and frustrated, because it used to be ours, and now it's not exclusive.
Interesting thought. I'm going to have to ponder on that one.
Just a theory. Y'all drink your drink. Think on that.
Drink a drink.
So yeah.
Drink. Okay.
Basically it.
Yeah. There we are.
We've reached the end of the show, unless you got something else you want to talk about.
No, I think we're good. We shall see what happens next week with the bringing someone back.
Agreed. So there are plenty of ways to contact us here with Cubs Out Loud. We obviously have a website, which is cubsoutloud.com. We also have an email, which is cubsoutloud@gmail.com. We do have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cubsoutloud. You can follow us, like us on there. You can also go to Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus, we have google.com/PlusCubsOutloud. And of course, the official Bear Social website for us is Bear Underground. You can join the COL group and say hello. On iTunes, you can rate us. I mean, leave us a comment. Jeffrey, our producer/host, would be more than happy to read that out loud. On Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up and leave a comment, and we now know how to fucking read those things.
Yay!
As always, I am Gary, a.k.a. GearBear73. You can find me on Bear411, Bear Underground, HeftyNet, Growler, Tumblr, most places.
GearBear73. I am TheaterCub79 on Bear411, Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet. I think that's it. Yeah, at least with that name.
So that said, y'all have a good night.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Tuesday.
Seriously. Son of a bitch.
It did it again.
Drag Race, Monday nights on Logo. See you next Tuesday.